Hello, today I'm back at it exploring the importance of a data-driven culture. Capturing data and surfacing the data is one thing, but creating ways for data to drive actionable outcomes is another thing altogether. Further, people should come to grips with their false expectations they have of data, and also be ready to accept both the positive and the negative data output that's surfaced. So, to help me unpack all these things is Scott Vaughn. Now, Scott is a veteran of marketing across companies of all sizes, and he has a wealth of knowledge and experience from not only the CFO, CMO perspective, but CXOs. You know, the CFO, CEO, CIOs can really gain a lot of information from Scott and his experience. So, all right, are you a data-driven company? And what does that really mean to be a data-driven company? Well, stay tuned to learn more. Well, hey, Scott. Thank you so much for joining the show again. Yeah. Loved having you on
last
time.
Are we going to wrestle? Are we going to banter? Or are we just going to wax poetic?
Maybe all three. Who knows? you know, it's always like great chatting with you and riffing a bit on a lot of great things happening and the greater world of not just marketing, but a lot of the periphery things that hit around marketing and things to be aware of. But hey, before we dive into some of those things, I want to just give a brief introduction to yourself and then we'll get started.
Sure. I'm privileged enough and have a ringside front row seat as a acceleration economy analyst. And my area of expertise is bringing marketing and go-to-market. So think of all the revenue generation, the digital marketing and transformation that's happened and all the data that's around it. So I'm kind of the CMO, the chief marketing officer at the table in the analyst group here at Acceleration Economy and a longtime CMO and marketing and revenue leader as a background, as a practitioner for startups and for big enterprises.
So yeah. Both everything in between. So
yeah, exactly.
I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you, Scott, for sharing that because I think you're bringing a wealth of information and practical experience really to bear. And we'll touch on this in a moment, but you had a great piece that just got posted on the site around how to drive data strategy into the culture of your business. So we'll touch on that a bit, but it's vitally important. And you mentioned the word data. And I think that's the crux here. For a long time, yes, we stored data in databases and used it. You know, unfortunately, it got siloed so often across infrastructures, enterprises. But now it's a true valuable asset to a lot of organizations. And trying to pull all that disparate data together is becoming easier now with a lot of these cloud database platforms. AI clouds to really reason over it and so forth. But to boil that down, I'd love to get your take on how data is opening up new opportunities for some of these go-to-market strategies and so forth. In light of, like, think about the past 2 years, how a lot of things have shifted. You know, customer expectations have shifted. Company strategies had to shift, pivot quickly. But so now we're kind of, hopefully, on the tail end of all of this. Now, variance aside, and looking at new ways to lever data. And so are you seeing it's opening up new opportunities and different ways to look at it?
Look, the whole idea of acceleration economy, the pace of change is crazy from all angles, business, life. And that is right in line with the amount of data that's being created, which is wonderful. But the big thing that I really think about and observe, just a little bit of context for this, is data-driven, you know, 10 years ago would have been thought of, I'm a data-driven organization. That means you're accountable, you can measure things, it's not just gut decisions, everything's based on data. That still exists, but today, data actually could be your business and it drives your business. So it's much more proactive use of data. Data-driven today is going out and actually using data to identify market opportunities, to identify the right types of ideal customer profile, to predict and identify trends, and then all the data that gets used along the way to make decisions for which products, Data comes with products today. It's maybe some technology, a solution, some services, and data. And how valuable data is, customer data, to be able to package that. And if it's managed and handled and trusted and compliant and all the right things. So we're in a really different definition where data is, I think, a completely underutilized asset in a business, but it's no mystery anymore. I think most executive teams, most boards, most investors understand that value. So we're at a different place and the stakes are getting higher.
Yeah, and I've even seen it used as a valuable asset and predictability of risk in many different ways, not only financial risk, security risk, and so forth. So your risk assessment, how much risk are you willing to absorb or take or avoid? So it's really changing the game in a lot of ways of that future, almost like that future proofing, if you will, that many are trying to attain to in many different ways. But I did want to touch back on that piece that just got pushed out to the side about you touched on it here about it's a data strategy. It's driving things and it's really impacting the culture of the business. How are you seeing how data is impacting culture
For a moment here? Well, my main premise with all that change that you noted with the acceleration of everything that happens, now is the time to step back and how do you create a data culture? And how do you make sure that data and everything around it, for goodness, is part of the culture? It's baked in, it's embedded, it's thinking. What that really means is that you reward great use of data. You really highlight and emphasize the data trust and transparency. So the data is not used for evil and it's we're not a big black box. We're also that data is available to everyone in the company to be able to use and not just for the secret meetings and rooms and all of those. Well, that requires a cultural shift. And I love the way Amazon talks about this in general. You can assess the maturity of your organization. Are you data aware? Are you data informed? Are you data driven? And it really shows characteristics in the report, able to capture that, to set the table to create a data culture, because you can move from data aware where, hey, a few people use data, the data is available, data is important, to data informed, where you're actually making decisions based on data, all the way to data driven, where you're actually in that proactive mode. So I think assessing that helps, but without that, you can't do any of that, Aaron, in my experience in following these companies and in my own work, if you don't have the executives top down and employees bottom up and even partners, that you are very clear on having a culture that values, protects, and is driven by data. So it has to be baked in.
Yeah, and that culture has to be open to accept data output, even if it's uncomfortable. Because a lot of times, you know, people say, well, hey, you know, we're doing great. We've hit our quotas. We've knocked this goal out of the park or whatever. But then reality is that one way it looks like you did, but in reality, and the other way is like, whoa, you know, it's hurting us over here.
Careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Boy, that is a great observation that data can go both ways, right? It's going to expose some things and you have to be comfortable with the uncomfortable and truly use data, not for credit or to prove something, right? We're going to concoct and mess with the data.
Right.
You have to use data to inform and understand so that you can optimize and change and, you know, be able to adapt to market and customer and business changes and challenges. So that's a great part of data culture where you go, well, everybody to the right, or we need to move a little bit more up because of what the data is telling us, and you're open and accepting both that you can create and use the models and the data to do it, that it gets into the right hands to make smart decisions, and that it's accepted. You know, you can't fight it. That's part of the culture. And once that you can start to see the sea change, that's when you become more data driven.
I like that you use the word accepting, and in conjunction with what you mentioned, making that data transparent, is because many times there's people that I'll say it's those folks that are kind of down in the trenches, if you will, they're doing the day-to-day work, that they see things and observe things that could be changed for the better. But if they had access to the data to sort of back up their observations, they could present new ideas upwards to where it could change drastically business trajectory, goals that they're going forward, even processes and strategies could change to be even more efficient or more timely or, you know, fill in the blank. But it goes back to that culture being open to accepting suggestions, no matter where they come from.
That's right. And that's when data is baked into your culture, that you're confident, or it doesn't even have to be like a fully baked data driven business case. Hey, I'm observing three pieces of data. That's one side of it. Absolutely. But think of the other, another view of this, which is if you have data culture, someone said, hey, I went and spent some time and I ran some numbers. I looked at this market. I pulled together the data. Look at these three trends. And so they're starting a meeting. They're starting a strategic initiative. Again, not data just to prove something, but boy, what you said, this is an opportunity, or this is a shift that we need to pay attention to. It's even better, Aaron, I'm going to accelerate that a little bit. Mm. It's even better when your data can be used where things can be activated automatically, predictably, wonderful. Mm. That's a whole category of stuff, and AI and machine learning. And I know we'll tackle that, but I'm talking from a culture standpoint. If you are seeing something and data is there and your culture values that, that should be able to be quickly empowered to at least get it up into a evaluation and discussion if this is worth looking at. And that's, when you know the culture is, you're seeing the right signs in the culture that is becoming data-informed or data-driven.
I've been using the word actionable a lot lately. You don't want to say, like you said, it's just observing what happens. And like, that's great data. It looks like we've done, but what actions are you taking as a result? Is it driving some sort of future action or even a proaction to move forward?
Or to stop doing something.
Exactly. Yeah. That goes back to that uncomfortableness. Yeah.
Yes. Your theme is running through this, isn't it, Aaron?
Yeah.
Of that ability to accept it and to be uncomfortable. But data is no value. You know, these database, we've got X million into this, 20 trillion of that, gigabyte, zettabyte, what terabyte, whatever it is, none of it matters. Mm-hmm. None of it matters if it can't be activated, if you can't draw insights that can be actionable from it. It really, really doesn't matter over time. Maybe for a moment in time, you can high five that you've accomplished these numbers and you have a model that is going to. But if you can't do anything with it, or it's not really useful or actionable, that's the thing in the culture that you have to accept too. It's not data for data's sake.
Well, that kind of speaks to something else I wanted to touch on. It's almost resetting expectations versus realities. You know, a lot of people have these expectations of, wow, we have these mountains of data and look what we can do with it. But then they have, uncomfortable again with the realities of what the data is presenting, and they have lofty expectations of something that are either unobtainable or just way out of reach, and they're not grounded in reality of what the data is telling them. So a lot of times that can hurt their engagement with customers, how they position themselves with, say, a new product or a new service. So there's a lot of ways that can go on. So it's that, again, expectation versus reality that's pulling in both directions. And it's got to be understood, and it has to be open in that culture to really accept what's going on.
There's so much there in what you just said. And my mind was spinning of all the scenarios you see in our sessions in discussions about data strategy, because in there is maybe a more obvious one, where if you're messing with someone's customer data and you're abusing it or not protecting it or using it in maybe not the most ethical or right way, or crossing the line or being creepy because you're stalking, that's definitely going to hurt your business and expectations. But also, if the data is not being utilized, if it's sitting there, that's also a form of all the challenges that we see now today, and the good and the bad of data, and how you use it and how you protect it and build brand trust with it. That's going to be important.
It reminds me, you just said that data just kind of sitting there. It's just like it's collecting dust almost. It's and it's not a valuable asset like we touched on earlier. It reminds me of like how manufacturing or supply chain companies, if they have supplies on the shelves that are not going anywhere, that's wasted money, wasted space, wasted time to put it away and count it every month for inventory checks. It's not no use to anybody. So therefore data just sitting in a database that's not being utilized, or it could have been, people aren't aware that there's this silo of data sitting over here, that we could tap into, and it could surface all kinds of things in context with other data.
Yeah. And so let's take the existing companies and let's take some of the upstarts and use examples of that. I did a review, with a company that's in the fashion world. And they're doing amazing things. Mm-hmm. So first they have, you can self-scan your body for sizing. Mm-hmm. And it's a major problem that you have to ship back and forth because they say a medium or a size 6 or whatever for one brand isn't that for another. So scanning first. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge data repository of people scanning. So you can use that as a business asset. The second part then is an inventory of all the retailers and the manufacturers of certain types of clothes, the sizing, actual size. So you can marry those two worlds together and you have multiple businesses and a hell of a business if you have the platform plus the ability, the technology to do the scanning. That is one example in one industry. So the data actually becomes the business. Yes, the platform is, you know, maybe offered as a software, as a platform, and there's a subscription, which is wonderful. But the way investors or stakeholders look at it, the data from both of those elements are the most valuable thing.
Well, to
and
take that a
that's
step.
What's changed about we're a data-driven organization. Wonderful. You need that. You need to be able to attribute, measure, have it guide your business. That's still data-driven. But this new world is being able to create value from data, to create businesses from data. And that's, I think, what the big sea change is. And now data-driven is not this or this or this, it's this. Mm-hmm. If you don't have, every business should have some form of data culture. Maybe not every small business owner out there that needs to operate at that scale, but anybody who's going to scale a business of any size needs to have data culture and a data strategy.
Well, one take that a step further is that scanning for the sizing and then seeing if you have it in inventory or which suppliers or manufacturers have those types of clothing. But I've even seen where you could take it and do a virtual closet, if you will, to see how that clothing would look on you. To see if it would even match your body type, your skin tone,
so that's,
your hair,
so
whatever.
That's data driving an experience.
Exactly.
And I was just simply saying it's a business asset. It is the business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we could keep going on and on of all the things you could do around this.
Yep.
But I'm making the point here and emphasizing now there are businesses where data marketplaces are created out of other businesses that become that went from the, oh, look what we've had the data. Now it's the center of the business. Now people are building businesses around the data.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a significant shift in our world of data and data in business specifically.
Well, and that's something I was going to touch on. You want is data is uncovering new ways to do engage with customers. And that kind of example I gave there is that customer experience and customer sentiment. So now they can provide feedback about the clothing, the styles and things, which then drives what vendors they may work with, because we're getting a lot of feedback that, well, just the quality of this clothing doesn't work well. You see what I'm saying?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? That goes back to your point about data culture. You have to be accepting. There might be some uncomfortable things. How about if you use data to do more of a predictive of what I should offer or the message that I send? And if the message is wrong, all the way down to the name of the person.
Yeah.
When you're using data to do that, it can be a catastrophe.
Well,
being a little dramatic, but that's where you start to erode brand trust. That's where you start to erode, who is this company? And they didn't even get me on this level.
Well, it speaks to that personalization that people are wanting in the experience.
That's one example I was trying to use. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to use the simplicity of, if you use data to deliver something, a message, a product, or and you're using any kind of lean forward machine learning or AI or some form of predictive, and you get it wrong, again, that's brand trust that's eroded, et cetera. So we're talking a really fine line here, but the potential, and for business leaders not to be betting and immersed and working on this and creating a data culture, whether it's your core business or a core business asset and a core part of your culture, it's essential today. Just absolutely essential. Well,
on the other end of that data spectrum, when we're seeing it now with the whole supply chain issues, you know, with the logistics, you know, and if you can't get product in to then satisfy a customer.
Wait, there's a supply chain issue?
What?
Bites
you at both ends. You know, it's boy, the tough
that's
thing.
A really great point here, and that's a very practical example.
Mm-hmm.
Probably worth our time to do that as a topic in a case study of a dissect. What the heck happened? Did we miss the data? Did the data culture not bring this out? But I don't want to digress our topic today of data culture, but that's a great example of what happens when data is not right, or you're not using data to drive decisions, or you see something, but you don't say something, or you don't do something with the data.
Well, and I'd love to dig a step further here in the last few minutes is a lot of times we're talking about all the possibilities with data, the uncomfortableness, the great perspectives you can get out of it, but it also requires people to kind of surface that data. You know, you got this technology side, these data scientists that can help pull all the data from the disparate sources and create a great model for somebody to create, you know, analytics reports from. And then you got the rise of this term, the citizen data scientists that are coming in, and they're acting as like this gap between the business decision makers and the technical folks to really harness that data and be able to tell a story with it so that the decision makers can make sense of it. You know, this mountains of data we talked about, you know, the gigabytes, the zettabytes and so forth, terabytes.
Yeah.
It's you got to make sense of it. You got to harness it, make sense of it before it can become a reality, and then drive that culture that we talked about a lot of.
And employees aren't going to wait around for some person in an ivory data tower to play out the analogy to come down and say, here is the data. I love the word you use, rise up. There's citizen data scientists could be literally data talent that's embedded in the business, but it also could be the business leaders that are just, they become data scientists. That's part of being a business professional today.
Right.
And so, this that's also part of culture. It's part of the business shift. And sometimes your employees are ahead of your culture and strategy.
Mm-hmm. And it's the marrying of that business acumen that they have with that data to really bring about those results that we've touched on so much from all different angles.
And those are positive things and to have that ability. That's a good, healthy sign for the culture to have that data scientist, citizen data scientist mentality. Because everything can't be done the whole idea of the cloud is to be able to get that data distributed and accessible and stored and secure and safe and be able to do really cool and big things with it so that it can be actioned and the right people have access to it.
Yeah. And then layer on top of that is leveraging AI to really accelerate the data to that actionable stuff we talked about a moment ago. And I think it also can help accelerate trust in the data because if internally the culture doesn't trust the data and then customers, it'll bleed out to the customers not trusting the service they're given, the products that they purchase and what have you.
Yeah.
And the long tail here, it's going to hurt the company's, customer loyalty or what kind of products or services can they offer in the future because people are turning elsewhere. So it does have an effect in all spectrums. And I think in our discussion that we had about the customer data and that prove it segment, we talked about that spherical look of data. You know, it's not just a flat, plain 360 view, but it's consider data from all angles with that customer data, as we talked about, in the center, that really can surface insights. So, well, hey, Scott, I think we've covered a lot of ground today and a lot of great information. And is there anything you'd love to leave the listeners with to kind of cap things off? Or
I think we've hit it. There's some big themes, and this whole idea, if you want to be a data-driven company and you want to use data as a business asset or as your business or as a revenue stream or however, the data strategy and the data culture has to be embedded everywhere and through everything and every action. And that data culture, you know, really has to do with being able to protect the data, use the data for good, be able to secure the data, to make the data accessible, to make the data actionable. And that's where the culture will help the people, the teams, not just the people who are involved with managing the data, but everybody protects the data. That's when you know your data culture is right. I just think it's a great topic because so many of us as business leaders and so many companies are making this priority, or this is a huge initiative around data. So the culture conversation is a big one. And always love these conversations and bantering with you and figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
At least putting out likewise, some Scott. Thoughtful ideas, I hope.
Yeah. Well, the goal here is to leave people with things to consider and think about. You know, a lot of times you need to take a hard look at things and or look at something from a different angle. So that's hopefully what we surface in these conversations. But Scott, again, thank you for joining me on the show today. And we'll chat again in the future.
Let's keep rolling. Thanks for everything you do, Aaron.
All right. Thanks.